and welcome to another edition of From Ohio. I'm your host, Phil Smrek. In 1946, soon to be the first African-American in the major leagues and later national icon, Jackie Robinson hit a home run while playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers AAA team, the Montreal Royals. On deck that day was George Shotgun Shuba. Noticing that no one had come out to congratulate Robinson, Shuba reached out his hand and shook Jackie's. It was the first interracial handshake in a professional baseball game. A sports photographer captured the moment, and it has since become known as a handshake for the century. A statue commemorating the event was recently unveiled in my hometown of Youngstown. I am proud to say that George Shotgun Shuba was from Ohio. I recently sat down with his son, Mike, and asked him to tell us about his father's Slavic heritage.
Right, immigrants from Czechoslovakia, and his parents didn't speak very much English. So when he was a young boy, it was hard to communicate at first with his parents. But
did he speak Slovak, your dad?
Yeah, he recited a Slovak prayer when we were young kids at the dining table before we had our meal.
Well, you know, I started reading Boys of Summer, and Roger Kahn did a whole chapter on your dad. And you're mentioned in the chapter, and he describes the story of, well, he starts the chapter by reciting that prayer in Slovak. What do you remember about that day?
I remember him going downstairs with Roger, and they were talking down there. And I remember my dad pulling out a string, and he made the knots at the end, and he showed Roger about how he got his swing perfected. Because Roger Kahn asked him, he says, George, he says, I sure wish I could have had your natural talent. And my father says, well, you could have. Let me show you. And he brought him downstairs, and he hung a string with the knots at the end and showed him how he used to hit that 600 times a day through his whole career, ever since he was a young boy, 44,000 times off season. So, he showed him the string, and George kept on going through his whole career using that, even when he was, like I was saying, off-season when he came home to 55
right.
Fernwood.
Right. Which, by the way, we were just at 55 Fernwood, and now we're at the end of the street, and this is the ballpark.
Right. We're at Bortz Park. It was renamed to George Shotgun Shuba Field years back, and this is where he developed his talents. Being six doors down was where he lived from the park. It was very close for him to be able to come. And he remembers a lot of pickup games, like you said. And he remembers a lot of the kids in the neighborhood coming all the time to play here.
Yeah.
Even to the late hours of the night before dark. And then they had to stop playing as soon as it got dark, you know.
Going back to the Slovak roots, and I share similar roots, and, you know, my dad would tell me the story, too, that his father, who was from Slovakia, really didn't have any interest in baseball, couldn't really help my dad with baseball, right? My dad was kind of on his own, and I'm assuming that that's really what the situation was for George. And my question is, where did George find the interest in baseball to begin with, and what do you think sort of drove him to become such a great baseball player?
George's parents wanted him to go to work at the steel mill. When he signed his very first contract and the scout came to the house, his mother says, there's a lot of other baseball players better than you. You should go get a steady job at the mill. But she signed the papers for him because he was underage, and then he started his career at that time. I think that the reason why he got involved with baseball was the simple fact that he lived six houses away from
where we're sitting now.
Correct. So I'm sure he's seen the action, heard, you can hear the crack of the bat here from his house.
From his bedroom window.
Right. So I'm sure he heard it and he thought to himself. And he just didn't want to go to the mill and do something normal. He wanted to make something of himself. And he had a dream. His father didn't give him much support, One thing he remembers, they were playing out in the street one day, a little game out in front of the house. And his father came home from work and gave him an apple. He said, here, George, is an apple. And George thought that was a very big deal that he even did that, because he didn't associate much with his father. And, of course, he died when George was, 13.
Hmm.
So he didn't get to see him succeed in baseball. And then his mother died in 52, so she wasn't able to see him go to the World Series.
Mike, I want to ask you, your dad was born in Youngstown, died in Youngstown, came back to Youngstown after playing for the Dodgers. What was it about Youngstown that your dad liked so much?
Well, he liked the community and the people of Youngstown. There was a big diversity of all kinds of ethnic groups, and he liked to associate with all kinds of different people. But he was very proud of Youngstown, and he was very proud of all the athletes that came from this area. As many times he mentioned that there were many that were much better than him. But when he traveled all across the country playing baseball, he could have very likely have raised his family anywhere. But he chose Youngstown to come back to, and I'm happy for that, because I'm also very proud of Youngstown myself.
Okay, now we're here in downtown Youngstown, and we're outside George and Jackie's statue. And how did this project come to be?
Right, a gentleman by the name of Eric Planey got inspired to create this statue here in the city of Youngstown when he researched and learned about the moment. He was from Youngstown, and he worked here at the Chamber of Commerce. Moved on to a different position in New York, but he wanted to help commemorate this moment in the city of Youngstown.
And you were saying earlier that you came up with the phrase handshake for a century.
Well, yeah, in the 90s, I seen a poster of Jackie Robinson shaking the hand of a nameless player, and they only showed the white arm. So at the time, I did not want that to happen to my father, because he was a better baseball player than he was. He was a better father than he was a baseball player. And I wanted to show the principal man behind him. And that's when I set forth to let the world know that there was a reason why he shook Jackie's hand. And it had a lot to do with the way he was.
You know, when you were growing up, did your dad ever tell you about the other players on the team that wouldn't shake Jackie's hand?
Well, of course, when I first got started with this, George was reluctant to get involved. He said that this was Jack's moment, not his. But he would never say anything bad about anybody, even if something happened. He never wanted to spoil Jackie's moment. So, no, he never said anything about that, any players, so on and so forth. But
because I guess the story is that when Jackie hit that home run, it was the first home run he had hit in the minor leagues. Is that right?
Right. That would be the very first home run he ever hit.
Yeah. And none of the other players wanted to come out and congratulate him. And your dad was on deck getting ready to bat behind Robertson. And he went up and shook Jackie's hand. Is that how the story goes?
Well, yeah. There were two gentlemen that were on base. And they crossed home plate. And when Jackie was coming to the plate, George ran up to shake his hand. So, at the plate that day, all the photographs are captured it, and he was the only one there at the plate that day.
Mm. Do you think now, if your dad were alive today and he saw everything that happened after the whole George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, what do you think he'd say about this statue?
Well, first he'd ask me if that was him, and I'd say, yes, that's you. And, of course, he would be happy to see that the youth and the kids are going to be able to recognize this moment, because it's all about the remembrance of the moment and what happened, and teaching our youth to just do the right thing when you're ever put on the spot.
And so basically you're saying that he kind of tried to play the moment down for the most part, for the balance of his life.
Well, of course, when I was younger, he told me that that he just did the right thing, that was 50 years ago, and nobody remembers that or cares much about it. But I told him I did, and that I was going to immortalize him in this moment. And ever since then, we went all across the country and teaching the kids and organizations about doing the right thing and making sure every little kid had a poster when they left the auditorium was one of my things that I like to do.
That's great. And you were telling me earlier that when they built this statue, you were the one that asked them to have the seating where we're sitting now doing this interview. And the reason for that was?
Well, of course, they asked me for my permission and to do the George. And, of course, I said, well, I'd love to have that in my beautiful city, my hometown. If we can have seating for kids that would come down on a field trip, that would be something that would really please me. So, of course, they did do the tiered seating up on the hill, and it makes it nice so that the youngsters, long after we're gone, will be able to come down and see the statue.
Did your dad and Jackie stay friends after they left the Dodgers?
Well, of course, after they won the World Series, all the guys were thinking it's time to head home or whatever and start their families or live their lives out. So after baseball, I remember a lot of long-distance phone calls coming in at the house, and I'm sure that was many conversations with some ball players that were trying to keep in touch with George.
When we came down to the statue, it wasn't lost upon me that we drove past the main post office in Youngstown. Is that the post office your dad worked at?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes. He retired from the postal inspectors here in Youngstown. So not far from where the statue is the building where he worked. Yes, sir.
So did your dad go straight from the Dodgers to the post office?
No. When he got out of the Dodgers, he started at an appliance store, and then he did a couple odd jobs, and then he got his position at the post office.
And what did he do at the post office?
He worked for the postal inspectors. They were the postal police, you know, the inspectors. So he considered that to be a very good job to be able to raise his family with the great benefits.
Mm-hmm. And was that the last job that he had? He retired as a postal inspector?
That's correct. He was working for the postal inspectors, and he did retire from the post office.
Now, looking at the statue, what it took to put the statue here, everything that's gone on with the Black Lives Matter movement, and your dad was really so far ahead of his time, right? And as you stand here or sit here with me today, and you look at that statue, what do you think?
Well, it's wonderful to see them both memorialized here. It's an epic diamond moment history event. And it's nice to know that people will recognize this moment and understand what it represents long after we're all gone.
And this year is the 75th anniversary of that handshake. So tell us about the day that the statue was unveiled.
Well, we had quite a few individuals there that day. There's a lot of people that were in attendance, and it was great to see. But, of course, that was a dream of mine to happen, and to see that happen come true is very gratifying. And then to know that it's in my hometown city of Youngstown is also very pleasing to know that it will be here for long after we're all gone, for sure.
And finally, if Jackie Robinson were here today and he saw that statue with him and your dad, what do you think Jackie would say?
Well, when George went up to shake his hand that day, he said, "That's a way to hit the ball, Jackie." So I think Jackie would say today, "Thank you, George, and thank you for shaking my hand." So, and George would tell him, "Well, Jack, you're my teammate. You're on our side. I could care less if you were Technicolor." And he would shake your hand no matter what.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. That concludes this episode of From Ohio. I'm your host, Phil Smrek, and this is the podcast where the state's most intriguing people's stories are told. If you know of anyone that you feel would be a great guest for our show, please be in touch. and O-H-I-O. Please get the word out and let your friends and family know about our show. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you on the next episode of From Ohio.